You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
For more than a decade, controversy has been surrounding the use of what are called public-private partnerships, or in short, P3s, as a way for governments to build bridges, highways, hospitals, roads. Advocates for P3s speak enthusiastically. Critics shake their heads. Kathy Corrigan is a researcher for the Canadian Union of Public Employees, CUPE, in British Columbia. She joins me on the phone to explain what CUPE learned when they commissioned a report on P3s from the accounting firm Blair McKay and Minette. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much.
So why did CUPE in the first place commission a report, and why at this time?
Well, we for a long time have had lots of evidence and have firmly believed that public-private partnerships are not a good value for taxpayers, that they cost more, and we have lots of other problems with them as well. But we thought that although we have known that through individual projects and information that we gathered, we thought it was time to get a highly credible, independent evaluator in the form of Ron Parks, who is very well known, probably the best known forensic auditor in British Columbia, and his partner Roseanne Turhart of Blair McKay Minette, to take a look and independently evaluate information that we had gathered through Freedom of Information requests about the finances of these things. And we had been working on these FOI requests for several years now, well over 2 years, and had managed through various means to gather financial information on four projects: the Abbotsford Hospital, the Sea to Sky, the Diamond Center, and the Canada Line P3 projects. So we gave the information to them, and we said, we want you to ask you some questions about it. We want to know whether P3s cost more based on the information that we managed to get. We want to know whether the methodology is biased or whether it's fair. And we want to know about whether the process is transparent. So we asked them those questions. And one other question that they were not able to answer based on the information that we provided.
So you did the legwork in digging Freedom of Information.
Yes.
and handed that over to these eminent accountants.
Yes, we gave them, and it's all government's own information that we applied for through these FOI requests. So it's not ours, it's theirs.
So having looked at that information, what did Ron Parks and Roseanne Turhart say?
Well, they concluded in answering our questions, first of all, that P3s, public-private partnerships, cost more than doing it publicly. If you just look at the actual dollars and you don't start doing the discounting and stuff that I think we'll probably talk about in a few minutes, if you just look at the raw dollars, for example, the Abbotsford Hospital is going to cost about $1.2 billion as a P3 and would have cost $855 if it had been done publicly, a difference of about $380 million. Sea to Sky Highway, there was a $1.7 billion versus $1.3 billion. Diamond Center, $203 million if it had been done as a P3, $89 million if it had been done publicly. And the Canada Line, not so clear with the information we managed to gather, but they figured around a $700 million difference to do it, to do it privately versus publicly. But
we're talking big dollars.
Oh, we're talking a huge amount of money, a huge amount of our money, taxpayer money. But that's all in the government books. But what the government does when they evaluate these things, they have Partnerships BC, generally, is the one that does it. Their wholly owned subsidiary company whose job it is to both evaluate, to decide on whether projects should be P3s, and then put them together and then evaluate them at the end, which we think is a huge conflict of interest because they also make their money off of them. But what they do is they apply, and rightly apply, something called a discount rate. And essentially what that says is that you can't just compare the money, the actual cost, the numbers I just gave you, Because these projects are spread over 30 or 35 years, we're going to be paying for them for 30 or 35 years. We pay an X number of dollars a year to the company that operates them. That's generally how they work. So what they do is they say, you know, if I ask you, if would you rather have a dollar now or if I gave you a dollar in 35 years, which one would you pick?
Well, right now.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably a really good choice. And the reason you do that is partly because you get it right now, but partly because you know that if you take that buck now and you put it in the bank, it's going to be worth a lot more than a buck in 35 years. But you can look at it the other way, and you can say that buck 35 years from now, if you try to say what's it really worth now, you use, instead of an interest rate going into the future, you go backwards and you call that a discount rate and say what's it worth now. So they rightly, there is a discount when you're trying to evaluate these things and say, okay, those bucks we're paying for these projects 35 years from now. You shouldn't just consider like the actual dollars that I gave you. You have to discount it. Say what would be the interest rate that would be associated with that. So what Parks and Terhart found about that was that the higher, we know that the higher the discount rate that you apply, so if you say you're going to discount that money from the end money back to the front at 7 or 8 or 9%, the higher you discount it, the more it favors it on paper, the P3 projects. And what they also found in their report was that the discount rate that is used by government to evaluate these things is arbitrary, and it seems to be very high. And they recommend that what should happen is that the discount rate that should be used should be how much it costs government to borrow money. Well, that's in the range of, you know, depending on, you know, what project is, sort of 2.5% to 4.5%. So what it does really, when they're evaluating these things, justifying them, we say, but evaluating these things, is it doesn't take into account, essentially, that the cost of money for government is way less than the cost of money borrowed by the private sector. And we're hearing about that lots right now with the money that the Vancouver City Council is just, they bought out the Olympic Village because they said we can borrow the money far more cheaply than the 11% that's being paid to Millennium, the private sector partner. So essentially what's happened is that these reports that justify these projects as P3s do not take into account the lower borrowing rate of government, so, and therefore biases the evaluation to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
So if the government rate of borrowing is, let's say, about 2.5%, and that might be a fair discounting rate, what is the usual discounting rate that the government has been using? Do you have those figures? Or those?
Well, they range in these projects from 6 to 7.5%. So what Parks and Terhart found, and some of the projects that we've looked at, but we just can't get all the numbers, so we couldn't get them to evaluate it, but some of them, the discount rate they use is up to, you know, sort of 8.5%. Well, with a mortgage, if the difference of a percentage of two makes a difference of thousands and thousands of dollars to a home purchaser. Well, in these projects, which are in the range of, you know, $200 million up to $2 billion, then that difference in the discount rate makes a difference of hundreds of millions of dollars. So they found very clearly that the P3s, if you applied an appropriate discount rate, would be more expensive in every case than if you had done them publicly. So, and that also, they also found, they came to the conclusion, this is one that is quite bold and not a usual thing for forensic accountants to make. They actually concluded that the process for assessing P3s in British Columbia is biased. The other thing they found is that there is a lack of public accountability and transparency associated with P3s. They looked at the information that we had requested and noted that much of the critical information had been denied and was missing from the value for money reports. So it was very difficult for us to gather the information that is needed, and we could only get it for four projects. And in fact, we have appeals going with the government right now, with Partnerships BC and other organizations in government, various ministries, we have many, many appeals where we're trying to gather this information, and much of it is being denied. Now they're denying on the basis that they're cabinet secrets. So it's getting harder and harder. Even these were projects that we got information a little bit earlier for the most part. But it's getting more and more difficult. So they concluded that that the process is not accountable or transparent as well.
The Portman Bridge was to have been a P3. All of a sudden, the government said the funding for the private partner fell through. We're taking it over.
Right.
Is that good news?
Well, I think it's good news when the public. For public projects that have traditionally been done publicly, the private sector is great for a whole bunch of things, but I don't think they're a good idea for what are traditionally public services, partly because they are more expensive. So I think in this case it probably is a good idea, because the fact is that the public money is much cheaper. But you know, we don't hear about the actual amount that the private sector is borrowing, because we can't get that information. But I think we can assume that when they are done, with especially in these times when it's so expensive for the private sector to borrow money, that we would be paying hundreds of millions of dollars more. So yeah, coming back to the public sector is good, although I don't understand why they're saying that, despite the fact that now we're taking all the financial risk, which is supposed to be why these things are good, as you pass it to the private sector, we're taking all the financial risk, and yet they're still going to have a private company doing the work and making the profit on it. That doesn't make sense to me.
And they also changed the design of the project arbitrarily to have 10 lanes.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it does, to me, point to another concern that we have about P3s. What you'll notice on the P3 projects is that often that the private sector does not want to refurbish things. They don't want to, you know, the Portman Bridge, they don't want to have any kind of risk. They tell you they're taking risk, but the reality is that they don't want to take the risk on these projects. So looking after an old bridge, I think what happened is they said, we don't want to look after this bridge, even though it's in good shape. And so they persuaded the government, this is my guess, they persuaded the government to tear down a perfectly good bridge with all the environmental consequences of that, and put up, you know, one that is basically twice as expensive. It's a 10-lane bridge, and I'm not sure why, but I think it's because it's just cleaner for the private sector to do that. They don't take on any of the risk that way.
Thanks a lot, Kathy, for taking time this morning.
Well, I'm very pleased to speak to you.
I've been speaking with Kathy Corrigan. She's a researcher at QPBC. She was talking about the report commissioned from the accounting firm Blair, McKay & Minette on BC's P3s.